Hello and welcome back to the Mindset Edit. I'm your host, Victoria D'Ambrosio, and thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode. Today, I wanted to share with you my mindset manifestation method, which I call the side door method. And I'm really excited to share this with you because as I look back and reflect on my life and different things that I've accomplished and achieved, I would say this mindset is responsible for almost all of my big successes and achievements. And if you follow me on this podcast or on social media, you guys know that I am a pusher for EFT. If you don't know what EFT is, EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques, and it's a tool and technique that is especially powerful for clearing and sometimes even identifying subconscious blocks that stand between you and your manifestations. And I am so vocal about EFT because I think it's an incredible tool. But this mindset hack or really shift in way of thinking is right on up there, if not possibly more important than using EFT. And if you are someone who has been struggling to achieve your manifestation, especially if you're at a point where you're like, is this even meant for me? Maybe the fact that I'm having this door shut in my face so many times just means that I'm meant to pack it up and do something differently. Maybe this is the universe showing me that I wasn't meant to do this, even though this is truly my heart's desire. And especially if that's a situation that you have found yourself in and you feel frustrated, I think this method will be particularly helpful for you. But I also think it's just helpful for anyone. And I guarantee if you take this method on and apply this to your life, you will achieve more things than you previously maybe thought were possible for you. So this is my side door manifestation method. And, you know, I've used this in my life without realizing it for, you know, 25 plus years. It wasn't until I started going through my own self-healing, spirituality, and manifestation journey that I connected the dots and saw what I was doing back in the day. And I had one experience that kind of solidified the name for this method. So, background information on me, I went to school in Boston. And if you're familiar with Boston, you might know the Prudential Center. It's basically a building where there's a lot of shops and there's multiple entrances to it. One of them is on Boylston Street, which is in downtown Boston. It's actually the street where the Boston Marathon finishes, if you're familiar. All that to say is it's just a very, very busy street. And I was trying to get into the Prudential Center to cut through it to get to where my apartment is because I lived at the time over there. And I remember being on this Boylston side entrance, and there was a huge crowd because it's a huge tourist trap. And everyone was trying to get in through these two main doors. And on the Boylston side entrance, at least two of the biggest doors are these two revolving doors. So, like, only so many people could go in at once, right? Because you're trying to get into the revolving section, then it's moving. And then you're like, I don't know you. Do I really want to squeeze up against you? So, like, there's this huge crowd like forming around Boylston Street because people were trying to get into the Prudential Center, but there was this roadblock almost because, you know, there were so many people and people weren't moving through the turnstile. And I remember, and I normally go through that entrance because that's the main entrance. I was like, oh my God, like I was in a rush. I don't know why. Maybe I had somewhere to be. Maybe it was cold outside and I was just not into the cold. Whatever it was, I was like, I don't want to wait in this line. And I just glance over out of the corner of my eye and notice that there's another door literally right next to one of the revolving doors. There's two. And the revolving door that was on the left, right to the left of that was a regular door. You just open it and walk in. Not a soul out of this huge crowd that was trying to jam into these other doors decided to open that other door and go in it. So I open the door and I walk in. Then, yeah, some people filed in behind me, probably. I don't really remember. But I just remember thinking, oh, that's so interesting. Like everyone's trying to get in through this front door. It is so hard. A lot of people can't even get in right now because it's that crowded. Yet there's a perfectly good door right next door that no one was going through. And it wasn't that that entrance was bad or took you in this long indirect route to where you had to go. It was just no one, in my opinion, noticed it because they were so focused on that front door. And, you might be able to tell where this conversation is going. And it was in that moment that I really realized, wow, you know, I've accomplished so many things in my life because I simply have the perception to be able to notice these side doors, other ways to get what I want that may not be the first, most obvious path there. And I immediately looked back on my life of all these different examples of how that came to be. And I'll talk about how to train your mind for this and what it has to do with manifestation, but I think this is really important. Right. I mean, even when it comes to just personal things, like I remember, again, I was in Boston at school. I would want to go home to New York for the holidays and I would take the train, Amtrak. And if you did not book that Amtrak like months and months and months and months in advance for Thanksgiving, like good luck getting a train. Like they would be sold out. So I remember 1 year, normally I was on top of it because I knew that. And 1 year, for whatever reason, I didn't book my train. Maybe I thought I booked it, but I didn't. Regardless, we're getting up to Thanksgiving. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't go home because the Amtrak from Boston to where I was trying to get off was, I don't know if it was, I think it was completely sold out. And if it wasn't sold out, it was like they had like one first class ticket that was like $500 one way. And I was like, I can't pay that. Right. So to me, I was like, great. I have no option. And I just remember being like, oh my God, and being so frustrated. I was like, oh my God, am I not going to be able to go home? Like, this stinks. I want to see my family. I want to see my high school friends. All my other friends from college are going to be going home. I'm going to be left here alone. Like, what am I going to do? And I remember I had the thought and I was like, okay, well, what if I didn't get off at my stop, but what if I could find some sort of stop somewhat nearby? And for context, like the train that I was on, it didn't make like a lot of local stops. Like the next, like even the stop that I was getting off at normally was still about 45 minutes from where I lived. So to take another, you know, stop, I'm like, oh God, I'm taking this 3-4 hour train. Then I have to drive God knows how long if I take another train. But I was like, okay, whatever, I'll figure it out. Let me look. And I noticed and I was like, oh, that's so interesting. If I get off at the stop that's like two stops after where I go, it's not sold out, and the price is actually cheaper than my normal ticket, even though they both start at the same spot in Boston and this train goes further. I imagine it's because I was getting off at like a main hub in like the New York metro area. It's like, okay, whatever. I was like, I'm just going to buy this ticket because no one cares if you get off early, I think, right? Just like you wouldn't want to buy an early ticket and then stay on. Like that's the problem. That's when they were like, hey, get off the train and then you're screwed. But I was like, I can get off early. Like it's not going to be a big deal. And then I just realized, I was like, wait a second. I can just always look for cheaper train tickets because if I go to certain hubs and just get off early, then not only can I find more availability, but I can actually find cheaper prices. Because originally, like, I was just thinking, oh, I get off here and then find the problem. And then I was like, oh, let me just do this other thing. So what? Again, it's like finding a solution to a problem where the first door is closed, right? At first, it's like, you can't get into the Prudential building. Okay, well, there's a side door. Second is like, well, sorry, your train is sold out. Okay, coming up with these ideas. Now, bringing this into more like real life, I'll even like talk about, you know, one of my first real job. I always say my first real person job was when I was 20 at the time of applying. I turned 21 when I first started working there at Goldman Sachs. So for context, I went to Northeastern University in Boston. Just giving you guys all my back life story, and that's totally fine. And so what Northeastern does differently from like a lot of schools is that instead of going to class for certain semesters, they have you basically work full time in certain roles at certain companies. Like the companies have these roles open and you do that for a credit instead of taking like finance, for example. You're actually going to work in a finance job. You still have all your classes that you have to take, but like this is in addition to that. And so when I went to school, I went to school for business and then I decided I wanted to do finance. And being the perfectionist overachiever in my brain, I was like, I'm going to work at Goldman Sachs because that is like the top firm that you can work at if you are like a finance banking type of person. Like that is like the most prestigious type of company that you could work in. So of course I was like, I need to work there. But So does everyone else. Everyone else feels that way. There's like five jobs and everyone and their mother who is a finance major or even who isn't a finance major wants to work at that job because number one, it just carries a lot of weight for, it's a lot of prestige. And that's really important in terms of like your resume and getting your foot in the door in somewhere like Goldman Sachs. And second of all, because we're all college students, some of those positions, like obviously Goldman's just one company, like you could work for thousands of different companies. Goldman paid really, really well. Like in general, like they pay really well, but especially when you're a college student, you're like, I haven't seen money. And they're like, yeah, we're going to pay you like a lot of money. You're like, whoa. So like, the demand for these Goldman jobs are so high. It's actually ridiculous. And I remember when it was my turn, like my third year at Northeastern. So as a junior, I wanted to work at Goldman Sachs. And I remember my like career advisor was like, no, I mean, you could try, I guess, but like, you probably shouldn't, like, your grades are good, but you know, it's Goldman Sachs, which is basically like, you're smart, but like, girly, you don't have a 4.0. Like I had good grades. I don't remember what my GPA was. I think it was like a 3.6, whatever. It doesn't really matter. I did not have a perfect 4.0. I was a finance major, but like I also had a social life and I wasn't doing all these minors or president of the finance club or whatever other like accolades that some of these more, I'll put in air quotes, competitive people that were also going for the job were. And they were like, you know, basically you just shouldn't apply. I can't force you not to apply, but like, don't waste your time. I was like, okay, whatever. I'm still gonna shoot my shot because one of the methods I live or mindsets I live by is like, let them tell you no. Let them tell you no. So I was like, screw that. Goldman can reject me themselves. I'm not gonna self-reject. I'll put it out there. So I remember there was a info session and there were people, I think there were like five total Goldman Sachs jobs. And for this position, and the line out the door, there was such a mob. Like there had to be hundreds of people there. I don't remember exactly. And obviously I wasn't counting human heads, but the amount of people there was insane. You could throw a rock and hit like 25 dudes who looked exactly the same, who had a finance major and an economics major or economics minor. And like, they were all in finance club and like had their like, what is, I don't even know. Like when you have your fake stock portfolio, it's like fantasy football, but for finance people. Like, oh my God, this line is out the wazoo trying to talk to these two Goldman people to try to like network with them. Because I think we either had just maybe sent our resumes in, or in case you were going to send your resume in so they could kind of put a face to the name and maybe you could separate yourself. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is a mob scene in here. It's awful. And then out of that, so there's this huge mob going for these like two people. And then corner of my eye, I see in the other side of this, it's in like an auditorium room. Like if you've ever gone, like if you're thinking about like freshman dorms, like those huge ass rooms, right? Like it was in the back corner of this room. There's like these few other people talking and they looked like they were older. They were like adults and I was a college child and they were like talking. So I'm like, oh, I wonder who these people are. Like, there's pretty much no one over there. There's a mob scene over there. And also, I'm like 5 feet tall. I'm going to have to shove my way like through this crowd to try to talk to these people. That sounds awful. I'm just going to see what these people are up to. So I go over there. Turns out those people work also at Goldman. And I'm just chatting with them. Could not tell you what I talked about. Couldn't tell you. But turns out they also work at Goldman. They work on a different desk because I think everyone was trying to hound the people on the trading desk. They worked on, I think, operations and client relationships, like management teams. And I'm like chatting with them. Have a great time. Leave. I don't even know what I said. I don't remember anything. All I know is your girl got a call back for an interview at Goldman. I was like, oh my God, go in for this interview. I went in to interview for one job, ended up interviewing for two different jobs because both of the teams liked me. I know I have a point to this that's not just like me like being like, ooh, I'm so great, I swear to God. But like, ended up getting a job at Goldman. And then when I finished my role, they offered me the ability to come back into the number one role. Like if there were five roles at Goldman, I had like one of the four. There was one that was like the golden child one that was paying you like literally six figures when this was however many years ago, like 7 years ago when I was in college. So like even if you think six figures is a lot of money now today, think about how much that was 7 years ago, right? 8 years ago, I'm 29, Jesus Christ. 8 years ago, and then you're a college kid. And you're like, oh my God. And then I got offered that. My point being, side door. If I had just been like, oh, the guidance counselor told me, don't waste your time. They're never going to look at you because you don't have a 4.0. And if I took that at face value, I would have been like, nope, sorry, can't. My guidance counselor told me, no, I'm not smart enough. I don't have good enough grades, so I can't apply to Goldman. If I had gone into that room and been like, oh my God, there's all these other people who are way more qualified, and this room is crowded, like, I'm never going to be able to get to meet those people because the line is literally out the door and around the freaking building. Like, whatever. I could have self-rejected so many times and I didn't. I found these creative ways to get in where I wanted to go. However, at no point was I like manipulating the situation. I was like, oh, let me talk to these people. And if I work there at their desk, then eventually they're actually going to want to keep me. Like that was never a thought in my brain at all. Like literally when they offered me that second job, my jaw was probably on the floor. I was like, me getting that job and I have the option to do it here or in London? Like literally laughable. I was like, I just laughed because I was just think about all those other people. How did I end up with this, right? Okay, and then the last example I'm going to give before I start to hopefully make this make sense and make it relevant for you. This actually doesn't have to do with me directly, but I remember this is probably 6 years ago. Someone in my life that I know and I'm close with was at school. She went to school. She was in a specific major. I'm going to leave certain details out because it's not my story to share. But the university that she went to, she wanted to switch colleges within the university. So she wanted to switch majors. And she wanted to switch into the major where this university is like in the like, if it's not the top for this major, it is like top five. Like you, if you want to be in that major because you want to work in that field, like this is one of the best schools you can possibly go to because of like the network and all of these things that you get. And so this person that I know had, she was already a student there, but she was applying to transfer like inter major, whatever, for both a major and a minor. And at that point, she was, I think, a sophomore. So she had already, like, you're only allowed to do it up until like your second semester sophomore year or something like that. Like she was at the last point. And she applied and got rejected from both the major and the minor. So she calls me and she's upset and crying. And she's like, this really sucks, blah, 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 blah. She's like, I know I can like still with my major, it's like tangential. So I can try to break my way into the industry, but it's going to be even harder. And like, if I wanted to do this major, I would have to like transfer colleges and then I'd be behind 2 years because I'm just finishing my sophomore year and then you're spending all this other money, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, well, let me see like the rejection, blah, blah, blah. So I look at the rejection and I don't know what this thing said, but I think it said something like, okay, if you have like a question or something, you can email admissions, whatever it said. And I was like, okay, well, they said if you have a question, or maybe they said if you don't agree. I don't know what they said. All I know is I said, this is not over. And she was like, what are you talking about? I literally just got rejected from this college program that I want to be in. Like, what do you mean it's not over? They literally, Victoria, I have a letter. It says, sorry, but no, thank you. I said, no, we're going to tell them that they made a mistake and that you should be in this program for XYZ reason, because you're going to bring ABC things to this program, and that it would be a huge mistake on their part to not have you in that network because you're going to succeed with or without them. But at least if you succeed with them, then they get to be able to say that you were an alumni and then you could donate money to them. That's probably not exactly what I said, but you get the point. And so I work with her. We write this email and she sends it back and she got accepted as a major, like not even just a minor, the major, because she was like, no, let them tell you no. And even when they said no, ask again. Okay. My point with all of this is sometimes it feels like when life shuts a door in our face and tells us, no, you're not smart enough, or no one signs up for your program, or the college that you want to go to says, no, thank you, that we just have to take that at face value. Either that we have to take it at face value, or that that's it. And that's where our road and our journey ends. And there's nothing we can do. And maybe we can try to make the best of it, but we just have to look on the bright side of what that is. My point is, I want you to know that no matter what you want, if it's truly a heart's desire, because I do believe sometimes the universe will shove every door in your face if you're trying to go after something that's not truly meant for you, but you're doing it because like so-and-so told you to do it, or you think you should to like make someone else happy, but it's not like what you want to do. Like, I'm talking about your true heart's desires. If it is truly what you want to do and a door slams in your face, I want you to know that even if you go to the front door of that house and they say, no, thank you, and then they close the door and then they lock the door and then they bolt the door and then they bolt all the windows, that guess what? There might be a tree next to that house. And then you could jump onto that tree and then jump onto the roof of the house and then climb through the chimney. Okay? I think so many times, number one, especially women, don't even think of that as an option. And that's why I wanted to share this with you. Because I remember even when I, like, just talking about that person I know, my friend with the school rejection, it would have never come across her mind to be like, actually, no, I am going to be in this program after receiving a rejection. Like, that wouldn't have computed in her brain that that is even a possibility, because so many times as women, we're just meant to play small and not ruffle feathers and not upset anyone and not really stand up for ourselves in a lot of ways. And so I wanted to share all of these examples to say, when someone shoves a door in your face, or it seems like you can't get in, there's always a way. There is always a side door. There is always a window or a chimney or something that you can climb into. But you have to know that that exists, and you have to believe yourself worthy and deserving in order to be open enough to even see those side doors that are available. Bringing it back to Boylston Street, it's not like everyone looked at that side door and was like, I don't feel like going in there. I really need to do the pushy, turny style one and wait here for 20 minutes to get in. No, they were oblivious to the fact that there was another door right then and there. But the people who were right next to me, who happened to see that I went through the door, followed me. But that door wasn't in their awareness. Same thing with the Goldman job. Like, first of all, so many people could have been deterred, say, okay, well, they told me I wasn't smart enough, I'm not going to apply. Or they could have said, oh, the line's too long, or whatever else. And they could have just said, oh, well, if it's not, I'm not getting the one job, that one job out of Goldman that I want, I'm going to ignore the other four that are still really good. Like, there's so many ways to get what you want. There's so many ways. And that's the point of this episode. It's number one, I want you to know that there are multiple doors, so that when a door slams in your face, you don't have to just be like, okay, that's it. Or, okay, that's the universe telling me that's not what I meant to do. Do you know, like, I know I shared some silly examples of like, oh, Boylston Street or whatever, but like me working at Goldman was just one example. But even just that itself, that was the catalyst to so many things in my life. Having met those people, having had that experience on my resume, opened doors that then opened other doors, which then got me in other side doors to being where I am today. My friend, who now has gotten into that school and has since graduated, now has a network and has jobs and all these other opportunities available to her because she was in that school because she went through the side door and she found, and even if she had gotten rejected, she would have found another way. That's like not the point, right? But I think sometimes we take rejection and we say, oh, well, I got rejected, so I might, it's just probably not meant for me. No, 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 no. If you want it, if it's on your heart, it's meant for you. But you need to be open to the possibilities to be able to see that side door to then get in. And I'll tell you, because I gave you more like easier, quick forward examples, but sometimes it's like a side door that leads to another side door that leads to a window, and then you're inside the house. Like sometimes the side door is not just like a direct path itself, just different. Like sometimes you go through a couple of, you know, reroutes, but you still get to where you're going to go. And that is the most important thing. So how do you train your brain to see the side doors in your life, in your career, in your manifestations, whatever it is that you are going after? It's number one, knowing there's a side door or a chimney or whatever to your manifestation, knowing that in your core, okay? Not letting the door in your face being locked and guarded mean anything about you and saying, okay, maybe things haven't been working because I've been trying to go through the front door and I can't get in through the front door. So if things aren't working, how do I go through the side door? So that's the question to ask yourself. Like, instead of like, oh, I can't do this, well, how else could I? How else is it possible to achieve the same result? Because you're still going for the same end result. It's just the route that you take to get there. Like if you're going from New York to LA, there's a million different ways that you can go from New York to LA. Maybe one's faster, maybe one's slower, maybe one's more scenic, but that doesn't change the fact that there's more than one way to get to LA. So think about, okay, how else could I, the one way I'm trying to do things is clearly not working for me and the door is showing in my face and that's okay. Instead of saying, okay, this means it's not going to work for me, how else could it work for me? What's another possibility? Knowing it's out there and literally just asking yourself that question of how else could this be possible will open up so many doors for you. And then the next thing to do is like, mindset work around believing in yourself and believing it's safe to have that thing and believing it's possible to have those things. Because when you truly believe all of those things about yourself, because even though that woman told me you're not good enough basically to work at Goldman Sachs, I never felt that way. I mean, okay, yeah, I felt a little imposter syndrome when I was there. I'd be lying if I told you I wasn't, because I was like, oh my gosh, sometimes I feel like I have no business being here. But like overall, I felt like I can hang, I can do this. Like I'm smart enough and I'm a fun person to sit next to at a desk, right? And that's why I was able to see those things, because subconsciously I believed in myself. I saw myself there. I believed in my value and my worth. And when you truly believe those things, you're also going to open up to other possibilities. Again, it's not like I manipulatively go in and I'm like, where's the side door? It's like almost like I just see things that other people don't. And it's because, if we're going to get really more technical into it from the manifestation side of things, there's something in your brain called your reticular activating system. It's your brain's filtration system, which literally filters things in and out of your brain. So based on what you're seeing, you're actually only seeing a small percentage of like what's in reality around you, right? And so I have changed my filters so that I'm literally seeing more opportunities than maybe someone standing right next to me, because I have those filters changed, which is what you do when you're changing your subconscious. You change your filter for more money, more success, more ease, more flow. And then therefore it seems like things start to happen and more stuff's available. But actually in reality, that stuff was always there. You were just filtering them out. And so learning to change your filters for more success, more abundance, more ease, more flow, more whatever it is that you want will help you see those side doors. It's not like, you know, there's one specific affirmation to give you that's going to change this. But if you can adopt this mindset of, number one, let them tell you no, like literally just allow them to tell you no. And even when they tell you no, be remind yourself Like, there's always a way. There's always a way. And it might be the road less traveled, and it might be a little bumpy, and you might be the only person on the path. But I guarantee you, if it's your heart's desire, that there's a way. Okay? So just think back to what it is you're trying to manifest. If you feel like the door is being shoved in your freaking face time and time again, remind yourself, this is your sign that the door being shoved in your face does not mean it's not meant for you. It means maybe we got to get creative and go in through a window and take a rock and break in a little bit. And that's okay. Okay. But there's always a solution. Don't let something that seemingly is, oh, I just can't get on this train because it's sold out. No. Okay. Well, how else could I get on the train? Okay. I could get off somewhere else, or I could have taking a bus. I didn't want to, but you get my point. There's always a way, but it's your job to be open enough to the opportunities, to those other avenues, right? Like, even being open to, okay, this isn't going to work the way that I wanted it to work. Let's say your goal is to have, I don't know, 10,000 subscribers on YouTube, and maybe you're just posting YouTube videos all the time. And you're like, this isn't working. But then you're like, okay, there's got to be another way, even though admittedly that looks like the best way to get YouTube subscribers. But then maybe you feel pulled to start posting on TikTok, and actually people find you on TikTok, and then they want your short form, they love your short form content, but they want more long form content. And because TikTok has great visibility, you actually are able to pull in so many people, and one of your TikToks goes viral, and then you have your 10,000 subscribers on YouTube. I don't know. That's just an example, right? So be open to the possibilities. Remember, there is always a side door. If it's on your heart, it is on your heart because it is meant for you. And the only way that you can ever fail is if you give up. Even when it looks like every side door is locked and it is not working, trust that you might have to take the most roundabout way. But if you believe in yourself and you keep taking step forward, you will get there. And if you can stay open to it, creative possibilities and opportunities to get what you want will show up and manifest into your life. And even right now, just to kick it off, right? Set an intention and say, like, maybe place your hand on your heart and say, I am open to creative possibilities and creative solutions, right? Really breathe that in and say, universe or God or whatever you believe in, like, I am open to expected and unexpected paths to insert your goal. And just set it off and start that way and see what comes up and think, okay, if I had to come up with a creative idea, or how else could I do it? Maybe notice what starts to come up for you. So I hope that helps, because honestly, having the third door mindset, I could have talked to you guys for 6 hours with all of the ways I have gotten into different programs, different companies, different positions of power, gotten different like vacations or whatever else, because I'm able to notice and see side doors. I always say, I'm like, if there's one thing I'm good at, it's shoving my foot in a door and getting myself in somewhere where maybe I have no business being. But I feel like I do have a business being there, and that's why I end up there, and that's why I put my foot in that door. And so I just hope to instill that within you guys today, because I know that if you have that with you, that mindset of, I'm gonna find the freaking side door and I'm gonna break down the wall if I have to get into this house, you're just gonna achieve so very much. So with that, guys, I hope you have an incredible rest of your week. If this episode or any of my episodes has resonated with you, if you think someone else could gain from it, it would mean the absolute world to me if you would share it with a friend, share it on your Instagram stories. It really helps me, as a still like smaller, earlier, newer creator, get this podcast out there. And if you have any podcast requests, feel free to drop by my DMs. Any questions, things you want answered, I'm always open to hearing. And with all of that, I hope you have a fabulous rest of your week, and I will talk to you in next week's episode. Bye.